Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, this is going to be good if we get some hot uniform talk in this
podcast. Do we go hot uniform talk right off the top, Gino? I mean, that's really
the
highlight of
what they want. Give them what they want, Danger.
I mean, the LA Rams today. I know we have differing opinions on this. I love the new Rams unis. I love them.
What, the bone color?
Looks bone. Like it's not wash, a. Man. It's not like... white, Gene. You can't call it white. You call it bone. Do you remember the movie American Psycho with Christian Bale when they're all sitting in the boardroom and they're comparing their business cards? And I think one of them actually says, "Oh, what is that? Ooh, that's bone. It's not white. It's bone." The Rams are like American psychos on the football field with that bone uniform and the chrome blue helmets. I like what the LA Rams unveiled today.
Okay, so there are some things not to like, but I'm not going to go with the gradient numbers that start, you know, with the yellow and then kind of fade up the blue to the top. Not into that. Not into the revised logo. Not into the weird font. There's a patch on the right side of the collar. And on this patch, it just simply says Los Angeles Rams. Well, duh. Of course you're the LA Rams. It almost looks like they forgot to put the correct word mark. To me, that just looks like a placeholder. To me, that is a tell that the NFL is seriously considering putting ads on uniforms. If the NBA can do it and every other sport in Europe can do it, and we're in the middle of a pandemic and revenues are going to be down, and my God, we can't have the salary cap go down any further, and this team's playing in Los Angeles, let's make some money here and we'll have McDonald's or something like that on the collar. I don't like it in the NBA, but I got used to it, and I suppose that's going to be the same thing here in the NFL. But to me, that's the one thing that jumps out that nobody's really talking about, is that to me that is a tell that we're going to have ads on uniforms pretty soon here.
It's absolutely a placeholder. And honestly, like, think about all of the honks overseas that'll buy their favorite Premier League team's, you know, kit. They're littered with logos everywhere, yet they still buy them, they still wear them, they still support them. And I think that's, you know, that's, that itself is telling. I think people will buy NFL jerseys still of their favorite player, even if there's a GE logo on it somewhere. That is a very astute eye by Eugene Battaglia. I like the gradient numbers, by the way. I don't have a problem with it. I think those uniforms are slick. Now, they had to come out with something slick because they still don't rank as high as the team that they share a stadium with. I mean, those Chargers uniforms are still the hottest thing going. I mean, the Chargers uniforms, Tyrod Taylor is going to look so fast in week 10 when he's still starting at quarterback for the 2-8 LA Chargers. Those are some hot uniforms.
Here's some things that the Chargers have going for them. The uniforms. You could say they are the best in football, and I'm sure people and the history. I honestly, Dan Fouts, Chuck Muncy, John Jefferson, Ralph Benerska, love those early 80 teams that never quite got over the hump, and the old San Diego Supercharger song. But you don't have the Supercharger song now, and you don't have John Jefferson and Kellen Winslow and Chuck Muncy coming out now. So all you have are the uniforms. Please, this is a team that should be on the clock. If they're really going to commit to Tyrod all year, okay, maybe Tyrod gets some 5 or 6 wins, I suppose. But it doesn't look like a team that has any talent to me that's worthy of a playoff run.
If you believe the reports that Tyrod Taylor is their starting quarterback for all 16 games, that's a four-win team at best in Los Angeles. Four. Good defense, four-win team. I mean, imagine what the Bills were with Tyrod Taylor and then a little bit less than what the Bills were with Tyrod Taylor. That's what I imagine the Chargers this season if Tyrod is their starter for all 16 games. And you brought up some classic names, Gino. I've got to share a story from today, sports-related story from today. Bear with me for a second here, okay? We're all kind of sheltering in place and getting used to the quarantine life and life in isolation and what you do with the time that you would normally spend driving your car to and from work is really up to you. We have done some things around the house, and I think not just my wife and I. It's not exclusive to just Sandy and I. It's kind of everybody in our house. My daughter wanted to kind of redecorate her room, so she got she ordered a new rug and a new comforter for her bed. My teenager got sick of looking at her four walls as well, and started getting into some cleaning up and some housekeeping of her own in her room. And in doing so, she grabbed something from underneath her bed that had been sitting underneath her bed for a while. There was a period of time where she was like my little wingman for football on Sundays, and we would watch the Bears, and she had her Urlacher jersey, and I remember she actually cried when I told her that Brian Urlacher was retiring. She had a really hard time with Urlacher retiring than I did. So, she was at a period of time in her younger years where she was really into football. A friend of mine, my buddy Jimmy, I hadn't seen him in years. He knew I was a big football guy, and he's like, "Hey man, you like football? Here, take these." And he basically just unloaded a gigantic album of football cards on me. I've got so many football cards from the late 90s and early 2000s in this binder that he gave me that I really don't know what to do with. And I know that they're not really worth anything. And to know that they're not worth anything, I went to the expert. I went to sports bar legend, Masterstroke.
Masterstroke.
And Masterstroke is a collector, and he knows the value of some of these things. And he, proceeded to alert me that pretty much every card that I have from the era that I have, these were cards that were overprinted. They're everywhere, and they're essentially worth nothing. Because I was thinking, what if I sold these? How much would I get for these? Is there anything of value in here? And now I'm struggling with the idea of parting with them, because as I was flipping through the pages, man, did I see some names that I remember that I wish I could forget. Like looking at a football card of Cade McNown was not a high point of today. But I got to admit, like seeing a football card of Randy Moss or a younger Peyton Manning or a younger Tom Brady from the early 2000s was like, oh man, there's a little bit of nostalgia. And again, just a memory of what the game was then. Hey, no logos, no corporate logos on the jerseys back then, just characters, right? Jerry Glanville. I got a card from Jerry Glanville when he was the coach of the Falcons wearing all black. I mean, just characters and ballers and, and a lot of stiffs in the mix as well. But just, page upon page of history. And at some point, Gino, we're getting a little bit low on topics to hate on every day in the sports bar. I might just bring it down into the sports bar here, the cave of isolation, and just look at a page and just reminisce on some of the names that exist on these cards, because there are some beauts in there. But every name resonates. You'll hear a name, you'll be like, oh yeah, I remember that guy. Yeah, some guys you'll be like, I don't know who that is. But there are guys in there you're like, oh my God. And you'll remember specific plays or specific games. They're notorious. And I almost don't want to get rid of the cards, because with those cards, even though there's no value attached to them, there's plenty of memories attached to every player. I mean, Vinny Testaverde, starting quarterback for the New York Jets. Come on.
Cade McNown.
No, don't. Out of everything I just said, you're going to bring up the guy that I glossed over? No, please.
No. Let's go back. I mean, Cade McNown, word association. What is Cade McNown's claim to fame? Because I didn't he, like, have his girlfriend stolen by, or was it vice versa? Like he and Tim Couch are sharing the same girlfriend or something like that.
See, now that you have more lurid details on his backstory than I do. I just think Cade McNown, if you say word association, Cade McNown, I say bust. I mean, like, that's the first word that comes to mind. Like, there's nothing other than, and the thing about Cade McNown that, you know, and you could say the same thing about Mitch Trubisky. Like, they're not picking up his fifth year option. What's Mitch Trubisky to the Chicago Bears? He's a bust. What is Cade McNown? Well, Cade McNown was a bust from day one. Like, at least with Trubisky, there was a little bit of hope. At least they won one of his seasons and got to the postseason one of his seasons. With Cade McNown, there was no hope. He was terrible from the get-go. Just awful. A complete whiff by an organization.
I just looked that up really quick. He dated a Playboy Playmate in 1999. Weak knees. That's why. Yeah.
I mean, not the one
he ended up marrying, but that's why Cade McNown was a bust.
To go back to to Brian Urlacher. I mean, the year that Brian Urlacher was injured, I remember it vividly. It was the year that he was dating Jenny McCarthy. Weak knees. You can't do it. Paris Hilton was up in the press box. Weak knees. You're not going to make it through the season. Jay Cutler, can you make it through the NFC Championship game? No, you can't. Why? Because you have the star of Laguna Hills or the beach or the hills or whatever show she was on. You got Cavallari, you know, wearing you down. You've got weak knees, pal. Where's your dedication and commitment to the game?
So make sure Josh Allen, stays at home and is not. This is actually good, the quarantine. You know, if you have a young quarterback, right? No weak knees. So.
Well, we've had the pleasure of being in the same vicinity as Josh Allen's girlfriend, fiance, probably fiance at this point, right? Yeah. Josh is at risk. He's a high risk individual.
That's now we know why our favorite quarterback from Alabama never made it too.
That's right. That's right. Where's your dedication? My dedication's to my smoke show wife. That's where my dedication is. Welcome to the Sports Bar After Hours. We're 10 minutes in. I should probably do a proper introduction. Mike Danger here. Gene Battaglia there. Well, hot uniform talk will do that. I mean, a little hot and bothered under the collar, Gene, just talking about those Rams unis. I mean, we've had so many changes to uniforms. I don't know who you could say is the best out of all of the changes that we've seen. I kind of tend to think it's still the Chargers. But I like the Rams. I like what the Rams did.
I can tell you who the worst. It's the Falcons, right?
Oh, terrible.
Or maybe the Colts. Yeah, the Colts.
Patriots are pretty bad too, though. The Colts feel unnecessary to me. The Patriots, terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, color rush.
No, the Patriots uniforms look like what your football costume looked like when your mom went shopping for you at Goodwill for a football costume. That's what the Patriots uniforms look like. They are hideous. And I'm not saying that to be anti-Patriot. I would say that if it was the Bears. I just think they look awful. And the Falcons are a close second in terms of the worst. Those are bad. The Falcons had so much potential for some great unis this year, and they completely screwed the pooch. But, yeah, I think the Patriots are still the worst.
Funny how, like, you know, good organizations don't need to change the uniforms all that much now, do they? You know, like, isn't that the common denominator here? All the organizations we're talking about here, that just not a lot of success overall, in particular with, you know, the Falcons, the Buccaneers, the Colts.
Yeah.
So,
Gino, I spent the last 2 days, we spent the last 2 days talking a lot of hockey here in the Sports Bar After Hours. We had Amherst GM Randy Sexton on with us a couple of days ago to talk about the cancellation of the remainder of the AHL season. Yesterday, our friend, one of our regulars in the Sports Bar, Lance Lysowski, came in from the Buffalo News to talk about the latest goings on with the Sabres and with the NHL. And boy, he and I were going back and forth and speculating what the rest of the season could look like if they were to do something. You know, I think everybody tends to believe that it's a long shot for the NHL or NBA and or NBA season to kind of continue or to get some kind of remainder of the season in. But if you listen to Gary Bettman, now, if every intention of completing the 19 and 20 season for the NHL, Gene.
Yeah, at this point, like, if you win the cup in August.
How empty does that feel?
And you're playing. Yeah, you're playing at the equivalent of Lakeshore Ice Arena or whatever compound that you're going to be locked down in. Yeah, I'm sure that's going to make for great television, but everybody's kind of lost the beat.
It's not going to make for great television. No. There won't be anybody in the arena. I mean, and you know, listen, Florida, Arizona, Yeah, we get it. Your weather is superior to everybody else in the lower 48, okay? You've got great weather, great climate. You're able to host events, and you're now inviting anybody who wants to come, any organization, any team that wants to come to your state to play. Come on in. We'll be the you know, we'll sacrifice some flare-ups if you want to come to our state, and we'll take that revenue. But I just think when it comes down to the players and what they want to do, and we can speak a little bit more to baseball and what's going on there, you know, they can say, you know, all they want that they're worried about their safety. In Major League Baseball, it ain't the safety they're worried about. It's the money they're worried about, right?
Oh, my gosh. Now this, I've had this rant saved here for 48 hours. You know how much I love baseball, Danger. But I think everybody could agree with me on this. I do not have the appetite for billionaire owners and millionaire baseball players to be squabbling over whatever dollars are left, okay? And it's not going to be a lot. You're doing this to satisfy your TV partners and your partners overall, okay? But for the fan base, for our country right now, the optics of this behind-the-scenes squabble. Try to say this here in 60 seconds what this is all about. Baseball is the only sport that does not have a hard salary cap. If you hit a certain threshold, you get taxed, okay? That's it. So now, not knowing what the revenues are going to be or kind of having an idea, owners don't want to lose money. So they are proposing to the players, listen, 50-50. That sounds fair, right? Well, maybe you can ask for, if you're the players, hey, look, give us a bigger percentage. That's what should happen here. But no, the players don't want to have a salary cap because slam the fist on the table. We've never had a salary cap when ours are union. Da, da, da. Hey, shitheads, it's a one-year deal, all right? Just accept the fact that everybody's making less money. There are millions of people unemployed. Okay, to read Philip Hughes, that stiff of an ex-pitcher, go online and just bemoan the fact that the players are going to get screwed on this deal. Hey, pay attention. No one is making money. And by the way, the owners could just say, ah, screw it. If you're, we have to have some cost certainty here. If we don't have the cost certainty, then you know what? There's no season, and we can all put a happy face on this and say, hey, you know what? There's no season because we're worried about the coronavirus and the players' safety. Bullshit. You just can't figure it out. You know why I don't have any confidence here and this is going to get done, Mike Danger? It's because of Rob Manfred. And I'm going to go to the other side. This commissioner, when it came to the major league, the minor league, you know, him imposing his will, well, he's going to get his way now because minor league baseball is crumbling right before us. But Rob Manfred, I don't think is a good leader. And if he is a good leader, this is his opportunity here to pave the way, get a deal done, and make sure our country has a welcome distraction here called Major League Baseball coming up in July, August, and September. But you know what? No, I don't think that's going to happen here because he's going to come in. I don't know if the guy knows how to negotiate. So there's my rant. That's a sports bar first, me swearing. I can do it in this format, but that's how pissed off I am in this whole situation with baseball.
I'm going to piss you off a little bit more. Did I not hear that the players had some sort of an agreement with the owners prior to this 50-50 idea? Is that accurate?
They did.
Okay. So they now did. The owners are coming back and saying it's 50-50 and the players, all they want is what was originally agreed to back when they first spoke. Is that what's going on?
That's the way it was a 50. It was a percentage of their salary.
Uh-huh. So prorated salary for the amount of games that they play, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And now that's not that. Yeah. So it's.
But
it's
they agreed essentially almost like a handshake deal, nothing official. But that was kind of what they thought would have been the right play. As a player, I'm going to play less games. I'm going to play a certain amount of games. So let's prorate my salary so that I'm not losing any amount of money per game. And now owners are coming back and saying, no, 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 it's going to be 50-50 based on what we generate in revenue.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's the salary.
Yeah, listen, I know that this is going to make players appear to look greedy, but it's the owners that are greedy. I mean, the players just want what they had coming to them and something that was agreed to them. And now the owners are trying to take that away from them by saying, no, we're going to go 50-50. Look, the owners are are wealthy. Like, the players are rich. The owners are wealthy. It's the old Chris Rock bit, right? Like, you know, the guy that Shaq is rich. The guy that owns the Lakers is wealthy, right? Like, it's different when you're an owner. And these guys don't want to lose money. It's what made them what they are. I get that. But the players aren't wrong for saying, hey, we agreed to this and we just want what we contractually have coming to us. Now, if we agree collectively to take a 50-50 split, then and don't like it, that's on us. But if we agreed, all of us collectively, and we came together and had sort of an agreement that our salaries were going to be prorated based on the amount of games that we play in a season, well, that's what I want. And that's what we should move forward with. Not this backpedaling of 50-50. It's a better, you know, now look, the last person I'm worried about is the owner of a baseball team or a football team or any billionaire. They're going to be fine when it's all said and done. And you mentioned, yes, it is tough. Everybody's losing money. And really, the players are going to be fine too. But in this instance, like, I'm not sympathetic at all for the owners. I actually feel a little bit of sympathy here for the players, especially if what was agreed to originally, not officially agreed to, but if it was discussed that they would get a prorated salary based on the amount of games that they play, well, then that's what they should get.
Well, what Manfred should do here is, I kind of view, with the exception of the NFL, I kind of view owning a sports team almost like a pyramid scheme. You're going to buy in, your franchise value is going to go up, and you're going to sell. See Tom Golisano. He bought a team out of bankruptcy, turned it around, made the cup semifinal, and sold to Terry Pegula for a nice handsome profit. That's the way pro sports is supposed to work here. Not necessarily bottom line year to year, but what you bought the franchise for and what you sell it for. Of course, there are certain franchises that are handed down generation to generation, but more often than not, that's the way it works. If I'm Rob Manfred, I'm saying, hey, okay, you know, owners, sure, we can play really hardball here, but understand what's going to happen to your franchise value here. Well, it's going to be down, first of all, because everything is going to be down. But if you take a year off when we could have played, and the, you know what, you're going to have to hold on to this. If you had any intention of selling here in the next few years, you're not going to be able to unless you're selling for pennies on the dollar here, so to speak here, because your franchise value is going to go down. And another thing too, where the NFL, I you know, with the exception of Mark Davis, everybody's wealthy. They're all billionaires in the NFL, right? Baseball, some of these franchises, I think they're held together by duct tape. See the Miami Marlins, okay? Derek Jeter is not billionaire wealthy man. He's just the face of a franchise with a bunch of investors behind him and who knows what. And when we first, you know, came down with this whole virus situation danger, we wondered out loud, you know, is there going to be a team in sports that's not going to survive this? And I said yes at that time, and I still say yes right now, that you might have a league taking over a franchise or two. I would think that'd be more likely in hockey, say, for instance, but that is one of the reasons why you see all these owners, wow, you know, just so desperate here to get back on the field. I don't think that, you know, sure, the NFL, you will not have that problem.
You're
the
going down a dark, dark path, though, Gino. I mean, could we see this get so bad in baseball, in basketball, in the NHL, where, you know, for years, we love talking about expansion. Could we be talking about contraction of these leagues?
You would probably always have a buyer. So, and bring it back around the Sabres. You want to talk about a dark time in Sabre history? You had an owner going to jail, all right? He and his two sons, the Regas family. Gosh, that's not good for business. And the league ran the Sabres. They didn't fold them, okay? They recognized, hey, maybe we can, you know, this is a hockey market, and we don't want to do that. So contraction's always been one of those fun sports radio topics, right? Look, the talent is always watered down. Here's an easy way to beef up the talent. Let's just get rid of a few teams. But the value of all these franchises, and even one that might be completely depressed, and I don't want to speculate what that might be, but I would brace that you're going to have, if we go months and months without any team bringing in revenue. All right, we'll see how good their credit line is here.
Well, right? And so, honestly, I mean, think about how much is invested in the arenas and stadiums that our favorite teams play in. And if you're not able to get together in large groups, Gene Battaglia, you're just, you know, that's before you talk about the lost TV revenue. You're talking about the lost concessions, the lost ticket sales. I mean, that's what makes these teams profitable. We say it all the time in the sports bar. The money's not in the team. The money's in the stadium. The money is in the arena. And you're not able to make that money, not because you have an unwillingness to play from a team standpoint, but it's just not safe, or it's not regulated, or there's no vaccine. I mean, you know, maybe I'm a tinfoil hat guy, but you know, when I hear the stories that I hear about, Wuhan having little flare ups and city officials there wanting to test all 11 million of the residents within the next 10 days. I mean, like, you know, we're reopening and we're going to do it slowly and we're going to do it methodically and we're going to do it responsibly. But I don't think any of us believe that. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't believe that we're immune from some kind of a flare up or some kind of an issue that prevents us again from looking down the road and saying, yeah, brighter days are ahead and we're going to be able to go on to an NFL game and enjoy it the way we'd always enjoy it. I don't know. I'm very skeptical of Major League Baseball being able to get it together here. I would love to see some baseball, and if they do get it together and they are able to get some games going, we'll watch, of course.
Yeah.
But I'm skeptical of the NHL. You know, I hear Gary Bettman, I hear what he's saying, and I think Gary Bettman represents the millionaires and billionaires that own those teams. So he's not going to say, yeah, it's been really tough, maybe we'll just cancel the season. He's going to say what he has to say, which is, never for a second have I thought about canceling the season. At some point, you might have to think about canceling the season, bro, because you're going to be getting into the middle of summer and there's not going to be any resolution, and it might be just best to cut your losses and look forward to what you might be able to accomplish in the 20 and 21 season. I mean, everything, as we learned from Randy Sexton on Monday here in the Sports Bar After Hours, everything in terms of the hockey world is up in the air. They have nothing concrete, no draft plans, free agency. They can't get the end of the season worked out. I mean, everything is fluid in the NBA. At least with the NFL, you still have your dates in place and you have a plan. If you need to go remote, you will go remote, as the league has continued to do. But, you know, with baseball, if it comes down to this war of dollars between owners and players, Gino, I'm not going to look at the players and say, like, these greedy MFers, they're the reason why we don't have baseball this summer. No, and it's not about safety. It's always about the money. I'm going to say it's the greedy owners. I'm going to say it's about the owners trying to milk as much money as they can, wherever they can, to continue to try and make as much as they can when they really already have more than they could possibly need.
There's so many unknowns to when we're talking about this. And one of the unknowns we didn't know at the time was, wow, I can't believe the NCAA called off the basketball tournament as quickly as they did. You wouldn't think they would push this, but we didn't know the timelines. We didn't know the severity of what was going to happen. Well, what made it an easy decision for them? No, it was the fact that they actually had insurance for a pandemic. My gosh. Oh, gosh, you're going to get that. Well, how many major league franchises are set up in this way? Okay. The Cleveland Indians, let's take. Their major sponsor is Progressive. Okay, if I'm the Indians, I would say, okay, in lieu of some cash, hey, make sure we get some pandemic. I'm just wondering, like, if you're an insured team, do you make more money if there are no games? These are the questions that we'll never know here. But to kind of bring back the whole conversation you and I are having full circle here, when it comes to the inequities of what might happen in this NFL season, the story from last day in Los Angeles County, they're extending the stay-at-home order for 3 months. Look, here in Rochester, we're all excited because this week you might get to go to a garden store. Woo! All right. Yeah, we've got to make sure you go out with your mask. I mean, can you imagine just being locked down for 3 more months? Well, let me do the quick math. Okay, that's May 13th, June 13th, 1 month, July 13th. NFL preseason camp. Are we talking alternative site here for the Rams and Chargers? I mean, how does this all look? And the other thing too, SEC, college football, guns a-blazing. We're going to have football. Okay, great. You do you. The Pac-12 is not going to have football by all. So are we going to have like a national championship without one of the Power Five conferences? But the Pac-12 has to make money. So are we going to have Pac-12 football then coming up in the spring while the SEC goes in the fall? I mean, and is the how's the NCAA leadership throughout all this? Are they going to get everybody on the same page here? Or are we just going to kind of go when you can go? So many questions here, Danger, and not good times we're living in here, bud.
Well, I will say this, and it's been a constant for as long as we've been alive. People love free. Evidence today, I'm going to get hyper-local now, and if you've made it all the way this far through the podcast here in the Sports Bar After Hours, please feel free to comment and hit us up on Twitter, at AKA Mike Danger. He's at Gene Battaglia. Here's how I know that people love free. And I'm getting hyper-local here, so excuse me if you're not listening in Rochester or you don't know what I'm talking about. But in Greece, they were distributing today free county-issued face masks at the Greece Town Hall. Greece Town Hall is located on Long Pond Road, north of Ladder Road. This is my neighborhood. This is my neck of the woods. I take my dad runs around this neighborhood. So I know this area well. I was mortified when I saw photos taken from a helicopter of the traffic jam that existed on Long Pond Road. It went from Town Hall as far down south as past English Road and as far up north as past Coon Road. All of these cars lined up to get their free county-issued face mask. Gino?
I got to laugh.
I hope it's a sign that we're responsible here and that we might set a pace and set a tone for everybody else and that we might actually get back to some sort of normalcy sooner. But I have to believe that if you're in California, you're practicing the same guidelines we are. You're practicing your physical distancing and you're wearing your face mask if you have to go out. But no, we're getting our free face masks. We're waiting in line for hours. I don't have that kind of time, by the way. And if I drive an extra 10 minutes, I can go to Hilton Parma and get my face mask and be out of there in less than 5 minutes. That's a pro tip for you if we have the opportunity to do this again and your town hall is overridden with cars and people trying to get their free county-issued face mask. But I hope that that's a sign of responsibility and that it leads to us being able to get back to normal and the things that we love in the world of sports that much sooner.
Well, I don't fault somebody for hearing the story and saying, okay, you know what? I got nothing to do this morning. Let me, you know, could use some. I was going to plan on getting them anyways. But at what point do you say, you know what, my time is not worth waiting in a car over an hour and a half, you know, and not knowing that maybe did everybody end up getting a mask or did they run out of them? I mean, that doesn't speak very well for the West Side.
Well, because, all right, listen, so because I know these mean streets of Greece as well as I do, Gino, I knew a road that I could take to kind of get onto Long Pond Road and shortchange the line, like kind of cut in line by taking a right off of this road, and it would have put me really close, but there was still such a line. And then I'm like, wow, that would really be a jerk move to all of the cars behind me if I just cut in line as I'm taking a right off of Larkin's Crossing here. What would that make me look like? Like that would be just a terrible thing. So instead of making that right to get to Town Hall, I took the left and I took the extra 10-minute drive to go get my free county issued face mask from the Hilton Parma Town Hall. And God bless everybody that had to deal with just the swarm of people coming to get their free face masks today. You know, we love free. If you're and this is what makes me nervous, and I'm not trying to get off on too much of a rant here, but the idea that we're going to spend as a country another $3 trillion in a relief fund for our citizens, we're going to become addicted to free money. And it's going to hurt or kill us in the long term. I hope we don't lose sight of what made us great, the ability to fight through adversity, the ability to make hay while the sun shines and continue to work for our dollar rather than get it for free. And I know a lot of people are going through hard times. They've been furloughed. They've been laid off. They don't know where their next check is going to come from. They don't know if they're going to be able to make rent or their mortgage payment. I feel for you. I feel, and it's hard because nobody's really hiring right now, right? I feel for you. But don't let the free money stunt your growth. You need a little bit of that gravity to build your muscle mass. And hopefully, hopefully you're able to get back on your feet and recognize that, you know, hard work and good choices usually leads to you being a success.
But we have a November election coming up, we think. Free. Remember us, November Danger. Here you go.
Money. I didn't want to get political. We're not getting political.
I'm sorry. You started.
I didn't mention anything about politics. I just said free money is a drug, and it's the most addictive drug going right now, and I hope that it doesn't stunt our growth as humans. I hope that we're able to rebound. And again, seeing the cars waiting in line for their free masks only made me think, well, I hope that this is a sign that we're actually taking this even more seriously than we thought, and that we're going to be responsible about how we go about our business in the hopes that this doesn't get worse, because it could get worse. It could get bad again. We could find ourselves going back to work and back into another routine just in time to see a flare up happen and have us have to go through all of this all over again. That would be the worst. I would hate for that to happen. Gino, as we wrap up here, and we've gone on usual longer than our usual time. Again, if you can relate to that story, the free face mask story, hit us up on Twitter and let us know if you were a part of that mess today in Greece. But before we wrap up, I got to say, we didn't even touch on this earlier this week because we had a lot of Amherst talk on Monday. Yesterday, I spoke with Lance Lysowski of the Buffalo News. We're a couple days removed. Hey, look, like him or not, love him, hate him, whatever you might have thought about him, he was kind of an icon in this marketplace for his longevity and his clout. Bob Matthews hung it up, retired officially Friday night.
Yeah, it was very Matthews-like, right? There wasn't any, advance warning on this, or just like all of a sudden I'm getting texts and hey, by the way, this is his last hour. Look. He did this in 1985 when there wasn't sports radio. And you look at Frontier Field. Today, Frontier Field stands in large part because Bob Matthews just like a pit bull, never let up on local leaders like David Gant, who were willing to let dollars go elsewhere in the state for tax revenue. No, finally, it did come. And I think Bob Matthews certainly was a big part of Frontier Field getting done. I don't think he's gone, Danger. I think that's my opinion. I think that he'll come back. That would be my prediction. They're holding the seat warm for him, man, basically. They're not putting anybody else in over there. But I tip my hat to Bob Matthews. If you're doing this for 35 years, that's probably, gosh, if I could make it half of that, I'd be doing cartwheels right now. Yeah.
Hey, look, like a lot of Rochester media professionals, I respect the longevity. If you do it as long as he's done it, as long as Wheeze has done it, I mean, it's hard to disrespect that. But I will say, like, the style of show that Matthews did, it wasn't for me. I could just tell right away, like, this show isn't for me, in that this is a show really about whoever he puts on the air and the callers that call on the show. They're the ones that are into this show more than anybody, because they're getting the little 60 seconds of fame, whether it's, Mr. Cleveland Browns or Mr. Poopstain or Mr. NFL, the callers with the fake names. As soon as I heard that, I'm like, this isn't for me. These aren't the kind of people that I want to listen to talk about sports. But I know that Bob has a lot of clout and from what I hear, is a great guy. I've never had the chance to sit down and have a lengthy conversation with Bob Matthews about anything. In fact, the one time I was in the same room with Bob Matthews and tried to engage him, he just kind of, he's like Old Man Potter to me in It's a Wonderful Life. The one time that I had an interaction with him, I'm like, okay, well, he's as advertised. He's kind of a curmudgeon, and I'm just going to let him sit at the bar by himself and not bother this man any further. But, happy trails. I don't know that I think he's coming back. I don't believe that. I think the guy's been doing it a long time. There's no sports to talk about, so he's not on the air talking about sports. And let's face it, that was another thing about the show that I didn't get a ton out of, which it got a little political at times, a little too political for my liking.
Yeah.
If you're able to enjoy your retirement now, and I hope he has the funds and the wherewithal to be able to enjoy retirement, then why would you come back? I mean, is it about ego? I don't know that he had a big ego. I don't know that was what his makeup was, but you know, I know that there's a lot of people in this community that grew up listening to that guy, that hold him in high regard. And again, I respect that longevity. That's one hell of a run. And, it, you know, whether it was his time at the DNC writing for the paper or his time on the air, his crusade to get Frontier Field built, Bob Matthews was a trailblazer in this marketplace. We wouldn't be on the air if it wasn't for Bob Matthews. And I hope that Gene, you and I get the chance to continue to carry the sports talk torch here in Rochester Sports Talk and potentially be Rochester's lone sports talk radio show. That would be quite the privilege. And, you know, I wouldn't take that responsibility lightly.
Yeah, if you're still with us at this point in the podcast, let people know you like the show. And I did have the opportunity to work with Bob a few years on that show as kind of the Bills reporter. And yeah, he did come off as curmudgeon, but that's not how he was. He is a good guy. So I wish him nothing but the best in his retirement.
All right, we're back again with another episode, the Sports Bar After Hours. Tomorrow, we're going to be joined by News 10 NBC's Rich Donnelly. I don't know if you saw this or not, Gino, but with the AHL canceling their season, if you're an Amerks fan, you're probably looking for good news wherever you can get it. How about a replay of the Amerks Game 7 Calder Cup clinching victory from 1996? Are you interested in that?
I'm interested because I was on the ice there post game. They actually let the media on the ice, so I'm gonna kind of check that out there. And the Game 7 win over Portland. Gosh, that was that arena was unbelievable that night, Danger, and just to hear to see it. Gosh, I'm gonna set my DVR this Saturday, so looking forward to that.
All right, Donnelly joins us tomorrow. We'll talk some sports and we'll revisit that historic Calder Cup run by the Rochester Americans as well. Appreciate you listening wherever you may listen to podcasts here at ESPNRochester.com, the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, and more. Stay healthy, and we will be back again tomorrow with another episode of the Sports Bar After Hours.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.